John chapter 1 verse 50. Jesus answered and said to him, I saw you under the fig tree. We're studying the Gospel of John. We're studying the basics of Christianity. Basics in order to know how to live for Christ. As I reread this story of Nathanael under the fig tree, I thought about a game that we used to play and children now still play it. One person would be in the middle of the yard. He would be it. And then everyone at the right sign time would break and run. It would chase everybody or anybody, and when he would grab somebody, he would say, I got you, you're it. Now that may not sound exciting to you, but it was to us at the time. Nevertheless, it reminded me, or rather reading this passage of Scripture reminded me of playing that game. Because as I read about how Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree, Nathanael. He seemed to be saying, Nathanael, you're it. And I had the image of God, as it were, running around and grabbing us and saying, Langston, you're it. Jim, you're it. Sarah, you're it. Frank, you're it. Because God is the one pursuing us. Now, we're going to look at this passage, Nathanael under the fig tree, and I want to tell you plainly what the great work of the Christian is, because that is the theme of our message today. The great work of the Christian, I want to tell you so that you will not miss it. The great work of the Christian is this: to know God, to know God, and to be known by God. Nathanael is a name that means God has given. It only occurs in one other place in the Gospels, and that is in the Gospel of John. In all the other Gospels, Nathanael, we suppose, is referred to as Bartholomew, the same disciple. Now, here, Philip is the one who told Nathanael about Christ. I had already indicated that it was Andrew and Peter who found Philip. Philip lived in the same town as those two disciples, Bethsaida. But after they told Philip, Philip had another friend. But his friend lived in a nearby city called Cana. And so Philip went to his friend and he talked to him. He said in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, it is amazing to me, and I emphasize this last Lord's Day, it is amazing to me that these disciples are yet untrained, unfamiliar with any kind of theology, with any kind of evangelistic training. No four laws, no EE, no Roman road, no bridge, no nothing as far as knowing how to share the gospel. And yet every one of them, when they met Jesus Christ, they felt a spontaneous compulsion to share the good news of the gospel. It's interesting. As I read verse 46, it reminded me of something in my own past. It says, "And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?'" You see, Philip said, the prophets wrote that the Messiah is coming, and we found him, and this is he, Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael was just flabbergasted. It is ludicrous to think that anything good is going to come out of Podunk. Nathanael was prejudiced. I've never been a flag waver, and not much of a grandstander or marching down Pennsylvania Avenue or carrying signs. But we have to be careful about prejudices, whether they are prejudiced toward other people because of their race, prejudiced because they're not like we are. But you see, Nathanael almost missed the reality. He almost missed Christianity because he didn't believe that anything good could come out of a particular city. Reminded me, before I became a Christian, I was a very prejudiced person against a certain race. Having been raised in the cradle of the Confederacy, having stood on the same star spot where Jefferson Davis was inaugurated as President of the Confederate States of America, having been primed on a book titled A Confederate Youth's Primer, I was prejudiced. I remember when Freedom Riders came to my town back in the late 50s. I told you I wasn't a Christian. I loaded my .22 rifle. And I didn't have a car. I tried to get some of my friends to go down with me. It was God's providence I didn't, for He was protecting me and probably others. The .22 rifle went off in my house and shot my brother's picture off the wall. And I tell you, I was more concerned about that than anything else when my brother would get home, who outweighed me by 80 pounds. The point is, I was prejudiced at a point in my life. And I'm sure that it kept me from seeing things as clearly as I needed to see them in my own heart. Like Nathanael, who couldn't see that anything good can come out of Nazareth. But the amazing thing to me in this first part of the section is not just Nathanael's prejudice, but Philip's willingness to share. And I said before, just like Andrew and Peter together, sharing, they were what we would call recruiters. And I challenged everyone here last Sunday morning, and I hope that you take it seriously. I want you to take it dead seriously. And this afternoon or this week, pray and ask God to give you two people whom you can recruit for this year for Jesus Christ. Maybe they won't even become Presbyterians. Maybe they won't become members of this church. Listen, your calling and my calling is first and foremost not to be Presbyterians. It is to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It is to be those who respond to the spontaneous expansion of His church and His call that the Word of God would spread. Share it, recruit people. Listen what Philip said to him in verse 46. He said, Philip said to him, come and see. You remember the lawyer I told you about down in Birmingham last week, who was a member of my church? I said, never went anywhere without carrying somebody with him. Well, what I want us to do in this congregation, when you come to church on Sunday morning, start bringing somebody with you. Will you pray about it? When you come to prayer meeting, and if you don't come, then come. When you come to Sunday school, when you come to your children's activities or whatever it is, start recruiting. You see, that's the challenge. You don't have to evangelize. All you have to do is say, hey, come and see. I don't mean see me or Mr. Cooksey or Les, but I mean come and see what Christ, who he is and what he can do. Well, that is what Philip did. And then notice how Nathanael met Christ. In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no guile. Now, the word guile there is the same word from which the Greek word for fish bait comes, or bait for fish. A man who doesn't have guile is not pretending. He's not using a plastic worm or a hellbender. That is a fishing lure, by the way. A hellbender or some other type lure. It is the real thing, okay? Nathanael was real. He wasn't just fish bait. Nathanael was a man who in whom was no deceit. He was pure. Remember what Jesus said about the pure in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes? He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's what happened to Nathanael. Notice his response in verse 48. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? You see, Nathanael was so clean and so pure that he wouldn't even take a compliment. And when even Jesus Christ said to him, here is a man, Nathanael, in whom is no guile, no deceit. He's not manipulative. He's not after his own. He's not trying to squeeze anything out of anybody. And this man was so pure that when he was paid a compliment, he didn't turn red and flush. He looked at Jesus and he said, how do you know me? And then Jesus made a startling revelation in the same verse, verse 48. Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Isn't it amazing that here Jesus said, before Philip ever went to you, you were under the fig tree. Wouldn't you like to know what Nathanael was thinking and praying while he was under the fig tree? Maybe he was praying for God to reveal himself to Nathanael. Whatever he was praying, Jesus said, Nathanael, when you were off by yourself under the fig tree, I saw you. Because God sees the heart. There's no place to hide. There's no place to go. Reminded me of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then the psalmist prayed before that. He said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. You see, it doesn't matter where you are, because his eye is upon you. And he knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows every word before you speak. This shows that Jesus Christ is whom we call omniscient. That's a big word. It means simply He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything before it happens. He knows everything. He knows everything and all the contingencies and the possibilities that could ever take place. He knows everything. Nathanael came to examine Christ because Philip said, "Come and see." And so Nathanael stood before Jesus Christ. He came to examine this man, and Jesus Christ examined him. And that is the way it always is. Nathanael then, in response to what Jesus said, said to Jesus, Nathanael answered and said to him in verse 49, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." You see, Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree," and Nathanael was so overwhelmed, he said, "Why, you are the Son of God." And then he goes on to say in verse 50, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Behold, I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Because I said to you, you will see greater things than these.'" Jesus said to him, you see, faith opens the door for greater blessings in a person's life. Jesus said, "Because I said I saw you there, you're going to see something even greater than this." In John 14:12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, if you believe me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." Did you hear me? Jesus Christ said that you and I will do greater works than Jesus Christ did while He was on earth. How can you do a greater work than Jesus Christ? Well, that's always puzzled me too. But I think the answer must be in the fact that even Jesus Christ, by the time He died, had only 12 disciples, and they were running and hiding somewhere, and a few women. And what He promises to you and to me is that we're going to be able to see greater fruit come from our work. And He says to this man, Nathanael, because Nathanael believed Him a little bit, Jesus said, "I'm going to enable you to see even greater things." And Nathanael did. Why? He saw the miracles of Jesus, and he saw the resurrection, and he saw the ascension of Christ into heaven. He saw all of these great things. But the greatest thing Nathanael saw, the greatest thing Nathanael saw, was not with his physical eye, but was with his faith, with his spiritual eye. When he came to faith in Jesus Christ, when he saw with his understanding that Jesus Christ died for him upon the cross of Calvary. And dear friend, that is what you can see in the great opportunity that you and I have this morning. We have a great blessing, a great promise that God promises us. And the first is this, that we may see spiritually the greatest work that any of us can see. And spiritually, that work is to know Jesus Christ, to understand who He is, and to respond in faith to Him. There is no greater work than this. But the second is this, and this is the great work of the Christian. And there are many lessons that we could learn and glean from this story, but this is just one, and this is the most important one. Remember, we're talking about the basics of Christian living. And I want to apply this one main lesson for you and me. The greatest work of the Christian, yes, to glorify God, but the most important great work is this, that we would sit under our fig tree. that we would know God and that we would be known by Him. Unfortunately, American Christianity has come to be characterized by statistics just like everything else. And it is godless that we bow to the gods and the idols of this world. What is important is this, that you and I have a fig tree. That means that we have our own quiet personal time with the Lord, and that you spend time with Him regularly and every day, for He sees you. The key to blessing in your Christian life is not more activity. As much as I want you to come to church and to be involved in everything, the key to blessing is that you and I must first learn to be before we can learn to do. I hope you have a fig tree somewhere. I used to have one when I was a kid, and its branches do stretch out, and its leaves are big, and it provides marvelous shade. But maybe your fig tree is a special room in your house, or a couch, or maybe beside your bed. But I'll tell you this, your great work is first to know God. Because I know that if you know Him, I'll never have to tell you, come to this meeting, or do this, or try this. If you know God, we'll move from blessing to blessing because we sit first under the fig tree. Dear Christian, do you have a fig tree? Are you sitting quietly waiting? Are you having your own personal quiet time with God every day? Let's pray.